Front Range Outdoors is brought to you in part by Wild Montana's Island Range Chapter, uniting and mobilizing communities to keep Montana wild. Learn more at wildmontana.org/IRC. Also, Front Range Outdoors is sponsored by Great Falls Area State Parks, including Giant Springs, Tower Rock, First People's Buffalo Jump, and Sluice Boxes, providing year-round cultural, historical, and recreational experiences for the Great Falls area.
Good afternoon and welcome to Front Range Outdoors on KGPR Great Falls. And today we have Marty Bannon in the studio. This is Amy Grisak, and we have Gabe who's making us sound beautiful. And today we're going to talk, have another gear discussion. We're going to talk about water purification and water filtering to kick it off.
Well, Amy, before we talk water, which is essential to us all, Abe and I are going to talk alcohol. No, I mean, really. That was a different show, wasn't it, Gabe? Let's talk, what have you been up to? You've written some articles that I've seen on Facebook. I've been out of state for a while, but I keep seeing them on Facebook. So what have you been up to?
That's it. Just getting those deadlines done. Lots of articles for Birds and Blooms magazine and Rock and Gem, and I can't even remember who else. But yeah, it just seems deadlines come and go every week.
Well, how about the name of some of those? I know there was a fishing one that I saw Grant in.
Oh, there was Raised in the West magazine. Yes, there is an article on ice fishing in there, and then another article in that same issue. So this is the winter issue of 2023 for Raised in the West, which is online and at a lot of stores throughout Montana. So one on ice fishing, another on gardening during the winter, including kind of some of those hydroponic setups. Rise Garden sent me a personal garden. I've been having a blast with that, which they produce really, really well. I'm really impressed. And then another piece on the processing plant for beef. Well, they'll do all sorts of meat animals up in Havre that just opened in January, I believe. They ran their first animals through.
And those are all in the
Raised in the West magazine.
And that is put out four times a year?
Or it is. Yep. They put out four times, so that winter 2023, and just hitting the stands this end of February, first part of March.
Okay, perfect timing. So did you have to carry those fish up there for Grant? Did you buy those fish that you have pictures of, or did the boys and Grant catch those?
They caught those. Okay. Yeah, those are years past. This year has been a little slower on the ice fishing for some reason. Don't know why. Francis has been kind of tough this year, and Holter, of course, doing great. Not huge perch, but doing great.
Well, ice fishing is a good transition to what we're going to talk about today.
Water. Yes. And which is best when it's not frozen.
Well, I'll think about that. But, you know, we had that pack, that gear show that we talked backpacks. Mm-hmm. And I remember I went back and listened to it. Actually, Gabe made it sound pretty good. I was surprised.
That's good, yes.
But remember we made the
comment. I do what I can.
You do a lot, Gabe.
The magic man.
I remember we said having the proper weight in your pack for the pack that you buy is important. Well, probably the heaviest thing you're going to carry in that pack is water.
Without doubt.
2.2 pounds a liter. So depending on how long the carries are between water sources, the quality of water sources, water's probably the most essential thing you're going to have in that backpack. You're going to survive or not survive based on the water you have. Mm-hmm. So the next logical place to go with is, how do you make sure you have good water? And, you know, when we're doing day hikes, we usually just take the water we have at the house with us. Mm-hmm. And it'd be good to carry some emergency way of treat water if you got stuck out there and you needed water. But we usually just carry the water we got. But if you're going to backpack or do a long through hike or be out in the wilderness doing other stuff for long periods of time, you probably need to come up with a way that you're confident that you're drinking safe water.
That's true.
And so today we'll talk a little bit about what are the different ways you can do it, and than some of the tools. I would say that we're probably limited in covering all the tools because in my research, I found that, man, everybody's got into the water treatment. There's so many different ways to do it out there, but basically there's like about four or five ways, right? You can carry your water. You can always do that, but that's probably one day supply. And then you can, the old Boy Scout, boil it.
Mm-hmm.
Still works. I mean, if you're camping that night, that's probably the safest way.
Yeah.
Probably the safest way of all.
Good clean water.
But if you don't want to be stopping every time you need a drink and boiling water, so why don't you talk about what the other ways are, and then we'll...
Well, we have various filtration systems anymore, and of course there's that difference between water filtering and water purification, and so that's definitely what people have to consider. So with the filtering, a lot of times we're pretty lucky out here because so much of our water is so clear. We're not having to get these high numbers of particulates out of it. We're not dipping out of cattle troughs as much as somebody, you know, somebody else on some of the through hikes type thing. So we're pretty blessed in that regard. And you know, and I think one caveat is a lot of people, especially who are new to the area, you get up in the mountains and the water is so clear and so beautiful that you wonder if you even have to filter. But just from personal experience, it's definitely a good idea. And I always bring this up when I'm talking to people. Grant and I were back in the backcountry surveying lakes years ago, and great stream, and we were talking just about this. Do we really have to do this here? We didn't know at the time, but the pond up above had a mule deer buck frozen in the ice. So that's what we were drinking. So we were very happy we were filtering and purifying our water at the time because you don't want to get sick back there.
I think that's a great point in that the water looks great right where you're at, but most of the streams or lakes that you're not going to survey the whole shoreline, you're not going to see what's upstream. So treating the water, whether you filter it or purify it, is probably the biggest, safest decision you make up front. And don't worry about what it looks like. Just plan on treating it some way or filtering it some way. And in some cases, people do both.
Both, yeah.
As, you know, if you get down low altitudes in the desert where there's cow paddy water, lots of floaties in there that you don't want to even get close to, then a lot of people will filter it to get the big stuff out. A lot of people use pre-filters, coffee filters,
pantyhose
is number one for me. I mean,
yeah.
they work better than anything, and they're much easier to carry. If you use a coffee filter, well, now you have a wet coffee filter.
Yeah.
And if you use a bandana, now you have a bandana, and where is the clean spot on your bandana? Which side did you use last time? So just a little piece of stocking is, you know, a few grams, and it works outstanding. So,
and then it keeps your filter from clogging up.
Yeah. And that's a good point on filters. Some are throwaways, and there's many different ones, gravity pump filters, straw filters. I mean, they come up with something new every day, and we were just talking before the show about the new one that has the press.
Yeah, the Grail, Grayl, I believe.
I hadn't seen that one until
that was new.
Today, but there's many out there, but the thing you need to remember is you need to treat your water or purify it, and so filtering is one.
But what are some of your favorite ways to filter?
You know, I'm not a filterer.
Okay.
I'm a pre-filter.
Okay.
So the stocking, and then I normally will treat it, and I've tried all the Aquamera bleach, the Aquatabs, the MCR, can't think of the name of micro something. And they all have a little bit different, if you read the labels, they're all a little bit different. Most of them use chlorine, but some of them use something that's maybe less severe than ingesting chlorine, but they also don't kill the crypto.
Okay.
Whatever.
Cryptosporidium?
Yeah, cryptosporidium, which seems to be the latest. If you look at most of the filters, they do take care of that.
Yeah, it's a protozoa. Right. And a lot of times the filters won't, but the ones that are keyed towards purification will. They're small enough to be able to get those out.
Yeah. And the other thing, remember, with filters, and I've seen this happen with people, is if you're going to use filters, you need to be very careful with filters. It's very easy to contaminate a filter, especially an inline filter like a Sawyer filter that so many people carry because they're very light, very small. But you can actually contaminate the input and very easily if you're not paying attention to what you're doing, you're tired. And then once you've done that, you either got to find some water to sterilize it or some bleach or something, or you're really not doing much good filtering your water. So because of that, I like either using AquaTabs or bleach or something that, you know, if I have bleach on me, I can sterilize anything, including my hands and all my equipment and anything else.
Bleach is the smell of clean.
And, you know, some people really have a problem drinking water that has
the bleach
chlorine
in it, yeah.
taste to it. And, you know, remember the old Boy Scout pills? You know, you got two of them, right? You mm-hmm. got the one that was a chlorine that never would dissolve and took forever. And then, because it smelled so bad, they gave you a pill to put it in there.
Really?
And take that smell away.
Oh, okay.
They were terrible.
Oh, no.
But they've come a long way in that. But I would also tell you, if you're hiking in the backcountry and you hike there long enough, you are going to end up with some type of stomach thing. It's just most of the people that get sick on long trails get sick from other hikers, by the way. That's why they don't shake hands.
Oh, interesting.
That's why they fist bump.
Okay. Well,
because
that's good to know.
You never know what the person
that's
you're
true.
Just meeting on the trail, how long has he been out there? What has he been doing?
Yeah.
We know some of the things he's been doing. And do you want to shake hands?
That's
with?
Right.
So,
no, yes, no, that's a good point.
So what I say is, if you're going to carry a water treatment with it, I always carry some medicine to
yeah.
treat stomach stuff.
So and, what do you like to take?
Whatever I have.
Okay.
But I know Amy with that 90-liter pack, if I can find
right.
Amy, she's
I
got...
I have a pharmacy.
You have a pharmacy in there.
That's true.
But getting back to water, let's...
Now, one of the things that I like when we're camping with a group, you know, they have the bigger bag filtration
thing. The gravity.
Yeah, the gravity. Katahdin has one. Life Straw Peak Series, they just sent me one this year to try. It's small. It's not a full gallon. I definitely like the fabric better. The Katahdin Gravity one is just, it's real crinkly and real stiff. But it's still, it holds a gallon and inline filtration system. And it is, it's really slick to be able to go down to the stream, scoop, fill that thing up, and then just hang it in a tree and fill the camelbacks, you know, the water bladders, the bottles, whatever, and do everybody. Which is great.
I think Camelback has actually picked up on that. They're actually
making
filters for there. But yeah, if you're going somewhere backpacking and you're going
to
set up camp, that's the
great
having
way
a gravity
to do it.
Feed one, because you don't have to sit there and do anything. And
and the pumps are great, like the Katahdin, the old pump systems. I mean, they're great, but you have to physically sit there at the stream and get it
done. I think for one person, those are fine. If you're out there by yourself.
To me, they seem heavy.
They're,
you
they
know
are.
Me,
I
just trying to look at ounces.
Yeah, this is a liter of water.
Yeah.
But they're very effective. They're sealed, so you're not going to contaminate them.
That's a good point. That's a really
versus
good point.
Inline filters
yeah.
and stuff that you have to be careful with. But certainly, I see far fewer of these being sold,
mm-hmm.
these pump filters, either the MCR ones. But there's that fourth method of, you know, so you can boil it, you can filter it, and you can chemically
treat it,
and then you can use the ultraviolet SteriPen, which is...
That's true, too.
By the way, I don't know if I totally believe this, but what the science says is it's the most effective
That's
way of killing everything in that thing.
Yeah, I was talking to Shelley at Bighorn Outfitters, and we were talking about that, and she said a lot of people she knows, like if they're traveling overseas, that type of thing, you know, absolutely, you know, she's stressed, and which is true with anything, as she pointed out, but you have to follow the directions. You have to do it properly. And of course, with it being battery operated, you know, take that in mind, because she's had friends where the batteries ran out after a few days if you're using it a lot. But no, I do have one of those, and They're easy. I mean, once you read the directions.
I think you pointed out a couple of downsides of it. Definitely the strong point is if you get the light, you're going to drink. It's going to kill everything in there. And actually, I don't think it kills Giardia. I think what it does is it makes it so it can't reproduce. The ultraviolet rays does something to its reproduction. So it's still there, but it can't reproduce in your
intestines. And that's the important part.
And so, but the downside, you pointed out the downsides. Another downside to it for the thru-hikers is a little heavier. Got to be concerned about your batteries. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't fit in every bottle.
You got to have
a big mouth bottle.
Yeah.
So the smart water bottles that everybody carries won't fit in there. So
that's true.
Just another way to do it. And I've seen people, I see less of that in the thru-hiking community. I see the majority of people carry, we either go bleach or go Sawyer filter. And I like to do both. I'll carry a Sawyer filter for those lowland ponds that there's a bunch of scum in there that I don't, even though I chemically treat it, I just don't want to ingest it.
Okay. And now, then, which filter, though?
The Sawyer, the big...
That you screw onto your bottle, or
you can screw it onto your bottle, but they come with some bags. But I get a platypus, so you can put 2 liters in and squeeze it out. Some people like to just screw that on their water bottle, and then fill the water bottle with, and then drink right straight out of it.
Yeah,
and I think it's kind of clumsy to do, you know, because it makes the water bottle. Well,
I had one of those because I was testing the Life Straw that you could just screw on the water bottle. And we were hiking into Buffalo Lakes up near the pass. And these ladies came in. They thought I had a bottle of wine in the side pocket. We almost became close friends.
Yeah. I'm not sure this is a Life Straw, but it's close to one. And I think in the short term, these work. But over the long term, like I said before, they're easy to contaminate this side of it.
So that's the one that you just dip down and drink in the stream.
Yeah.
Type. I don't know if you, can you.
They have a thing that fits on here.
Oh, okay, that you can put on the water bottle too.
Yeah.
But yeah, because the one that you dip down the stream, to me, kids are going to enjoy that. But if I got 30, 40 pounds on my back, I'm not bending down every stream crossing type thing. I want to have a water bottle. Or the bladder there.
And that actually reminds me why even the tablets can be a pain. Like the Aqua Tabs, if you're not careful with them, and I have some here, they are, after a long hike, it's a real pain in the butt to get them out of these little things.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they're in there, and you're tired. You're trying to rip them out, and they get crushed, and... I'll tell you, if you get the powder on them and you don't wash your hands off, it'll blister your hands.
Oh, whoa.
And so it's so there's pluses and minuses.
Of everything.
I like to have two options when I'm hiking with me. I'll use this and then carry a filter for the backup.
For the murky water.
The problem with that Sawyer filter is you got to be, like I said, you got to be really careful once you're done with it, once you filled your water bottles. Yeah. Now... they have a little seal that goes on the side, but if you're tired and not careful, you can actually get water straight from the stream straight in there. And so
that negates the purpose.
And a lot of times you don't even know it.
No.
And that's why it's important to carry something with you.
And then also flushing it out, bringing the plunger to be able to flush it.
And that's why I don't use it all the time, because then you have to back flush it. And
I
won't bring that plunger with me.
I don't either. You should, but because if it gets stuck, then you're stuck.
Well, that's why you have these.
Yeah,
but that's why I like to hike with Amy, because I know she has one in there somewhere. Probably a backup to a backup in that 90 liters of gear.
I'm hearing a little bit too is that maybe you should practice a little bit with your preferred technique before you get out on the trail, just to make sure that you know how to operate it efficiently and that you have an actual plan that you know how to execute before you actually go out on the trail. So many times it's easy to imagine that everything's just going to be smooth, but you need to practice for how you're going to survive out there, because when you're actually out there, it's you in the wild. So
That is a good point, because you don't want to be fumbling with all these different pieces and parts.
What would you suggest as some of these for, like, just for the easier, as far as maintenance, the ability to just kind of have an efficient experience? What are your favorite approaches to start with?
Well, first, I'd like to say, Gabe, great point, but that covers everything in your pack.
Yeah,
what people
true.
Do is go down to Big Horn and see.
Oh, Shelly's great.
Shelly, or go see Scott at North 40, or see Brian at Shields, and they buy the hottest gear, or they see it online, and they buy it, and they really don't ops check it. I see people that show up to hike 3,000 miles on a trail, they never really put their tent up.
I was going to say, can't get their tent up. Yeah.
And you can tell they're fumbling around with it. And even the first time I haven't used mine in a year, it takes me longer to put it up because until you get into rhythm. But your point is well taken, that all this kind of gear you need to get comfortable with, because I go back to the story when the kids bought me this as a gift, and I went up, and it was maybe 10 years ago, and I was hiking Red Mountain in the Bob Marshall, and I had never taken it out. It's like, this is how it came. Mm-hmm. I never put it together, didn't really read the directions. I just thought, I just pump it, it'll work. And I went up Red Mountain, and I didn't carry any water, and I had Kona with me. Luckily, there was still ice on the side of the mountain, so Kona was good, but it was really hard trying to melt enough water to drink. So on my way down, I was a little dehydrated, and I stopped at the first stream. Very steep running stream, and I unzipped this, and the parts all fell out in parts into the stream.
Oh no.
So I recovered a bunch, and the good thing was, and I this is the first time I had really hiked with Kona, the hose that you float in the stream, you know, that mm-hmm. you connect to the pump, it was and it was vertical, and it just went down, it was gone. And I told Kona to get it.
Oh, good girl.
And she went and got
it. Oh, good girl.
No training or nothing. I think she looked at me and said, you're in trouble. But
I will save you.
Yeah. Yes. It reinforced that point, and she became my hiking partner for life then. But it reinforced what you said, Gabe, is all of your equipment, including all these. And, you know, Amy and I have talked about a bunch of different ways to do this. And, you know, what she likes to do is experiment with them a little bit at home.
Yeah.
You know, make sure your pump is working. And I lent this out one time, and somebody must have stuck it in a silty east stream, and it basically stopped altogether.
No.
And they didn't bother to tell me that, because you can pull it out and clean it out, but I just put it away. I thought they had cleaned it out, and when I got it out, it barely would trickle water out of it. So, you know, not only new equipment, but when you're ready to go out into the Bob, make sure you got what you got and you know how it works.
This is a great time of year to do that. You know, it's March, it's early spring. It's like, we can't get out so much right now, but it's like, so start peeling out all your gear and plan.
Yeah, maybe there's some of that stuff you need to buy new.
Yeah.
Some of you need to refurbish. You know, you can buy new filters for these. A lot of times I forget that I've lost a tent stake until I get back out there and I go, dang, how did I not remember to get another tent stake for this? So yeah, pre-flighting your equipment in your garage or in your living room this time of year before you get out there and realize that it's not going to work the way you thought it was going to work, especially on critical things like your shelter and your water and things that you're going to need, you know, critical to your success of what you're doing out there. So,
Well, I think it's important to, talking about water, to, before you go, look at, figure out where you're going to find water. Because there's so many times on the map, it's, you know, showing streams running through. And sure, they were probably great in June, but when you're hitting August, September, is it still going to be there? I mean, that's what hit me. I mean, it's been 30 years now. Went up Rising Wolf in September to film grizzlies. And typically there were snow fields up there. There was always, you know, traditionally plenty of water. But that year, there was nothing. I mean, I've never been so thirsty in my life, and that's why I tend to pack probably way more water than I need to, but by golly, I'm not going to be that thirsty again. But yeah, there was just nothing that year.
Yeah, Amy nor I are saying there's the one solution fits all. What we're saying is there's a whole bunch, and that number keeps getting bigger, not only in ways to do it, but but in the different tools that are out there. And if you just go online or look at any of the blogs out there, there's plenty of people that use the different ones, and they'll talk about the good parts of it and the bad parts. I just tell a short story. I was up by Webb Lake and ran into some friends that I didn't know were up there, but they came hiking through, and they had hiked. They're from Great Falls, and every year they took a long hike into the Bob, a different route, and they had always just drank the water. And finally that time I saw them, when I got back to town, one of them had got incredibly sick, and it was giardia. And he couldn't believe it because he had always just drank the water. But so some of those sources, and Amy mentioned it before, it really doesn't matter what it looks like. You don't know. You're seeing that little 12-foot section, and look at that nice green, but you don't know that, you know, half mile down or upstream, the cows are in the water. And
well, even, I mean, going into the Bob, one of my favorite spots, trails, there's this great little pool. And, I mean, it's just like this little oasis halfway up to the pass. But, by golly, with the mountain goats that are circulating and they're loving that, too, it's like, oh, no. You know.
Yeah, it's a lot of, sometimes it's things I you know, Jardy was, I guess, was known as beaver fever.
Yeah, because.
And so I'm really sensitive to any of the creeks that start flattening out and I start seeing beaver dams. I'll avoid it at all costs unless I have to get water out of there. But there is some techniques other than just equipment. You know, if you can find springs that are coming straight out of the ground, those are good sources. Usually faster running is better than slower running. I didn't realize this, you know, which side of a, if you saw water running into a lake, an inflow and an outflow, which one would you choose?
Probably the inflow.
That was my initial assessment too, but they actually, the advice in the hiker's gear guide that Andrew Sherka wrote is, the experts say, take it out of the outflow. And I was like, no.
Well, I just say that because I had the mule deer floating up above on the other, and we were drinking out of the outflow.
It just looks to me like it's, okay, it's stream flowing in. Now all kinds of things can happen in it.
Yeah, that's right. You got a moose flopping around in it.
So, but they say all the bad stuff will flow into the lake, and the ultraviolet rays kill a lot of the bad stuff when it's exposed to light in a lake. So get it in flowing water, certainly.
Okay.
But get it on the outflow, which was, that was new to me. I learned that just getting ready for talking about this today. But we're not, you know, we're not saying one's better than the other, whether you treat it or, you know, boil it. You have to figure out what works for what you're about to do. But certainly, as Gabe mentioned, make sure you're comfortable with whatever you choose. Make sure you're comfortable. You know how it works before you head out into the wilderness. Realize that I think what they suggest today is that you drink 4 liters of water a day. That's before you start exercising and based on weight and based on the environment you're in.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people get the stumbles, dehydrate, and they're not thirsty because it's cold outside.
Yeah.
And they're hiking and it's cold. And they're not drinking. So, you know, water's got all kinds of issues with it, where you find it, plan ahead, know you have some sources of water, because you can't use your equipment if you can't find water, right?
No,
That's it. But, you know, a lot of the apps are much better in pointing out water nowadays. They realize
they
that.
They are.
They're getting
and
better.
And then talking to people, too. It's important that you kind of check sources. Because the people who are back there on a regular basis will say, yeah, you know, you better bring extra, and just depending on the year, too.
I think we're blessed in Montana that most of the time if we go into the mountains, it was one thing I think when we did that interview from Arizona I pointed out is I was so used to walking in Montana, and if I'm in Pine Forest, the next draw is going to have a creek in it,
Pretty much.
It's going to have a creek. And in Arizona, you're in the Pine Forest, and you look like you're up there, and there's no water.
There's no creek.
It's just
no
dry. On the Kaibab Plateau is dry. So it certainly... plan ahead a little bit, and certainly there's a lot of information out there, and search it out before you go out and do it. And most of the people we're talking to have been out, and we're probably preaching to the choir a little bit. They already have their proven.
But we always learn. There's a lot of new people to the area, so and we always learn, even if we've been doing it for a while.
I learned a lot.
Well, I want to kind of wrap it up. We were going to talk a little bit about stoves, and we'll get to that at some point. And I think we need to talk sleep systems, you know, quilts and sleeping bags and tents at some point in the future. And certainly we're not the experts on it, but we have a lot of experience at it, and we'll just give you what we think. And certainly we're not the end-all be-all on any of these things. It's just what we've experienced and what we're aware of out there. Certainly Bighorn, North 40, Shields, they have people that can talk to you and know about the individual, how the actual things they're selling works. I would also like to say there's Wild Montana, they just opened up their volunteer trail programs. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in that, please go on their website. It just opened up March 1st, so it fills up pretty quick. Yep. And also, Vets Montana, their Knuckle Buster, they opened up registration for up at Showdown. That's going to fill up quick. By all means, if you're interested in that, it's fun. It's up at Showdown. You can just Google Knuckle Buster or go to Showdown or Race Montana. And the last thing I'd like to say is just thank you to all the listeners that supported the joint resolution for the Montana Trail. Unfortunately, due to a lot of circumstances, which I saved it to the end because I didn't want to go into a long dialogue, it was tabled. It wasn't voted down. It was tabled. And so that ended it for this term. And maybe in 2 years we'll try again. And but thank you for your comments supporting the trail. They do mean something. They influence people. A lot more people know about the effort. And I'll let Amy wrap it up.
Well, I think good discussion. Anxious to get going this spring, get on the trail. And definitely everybody enjoy this latter part of the winter. And we will talk to you soon. Once again, this is Front Range Outdoors on KGPR Great Falls.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like more information about KGPR, please visit our website, kgpr.org, where you can find a link to donate, links to all of our other locally produced programming, and information about your local voice, KGPR Great Falls.
Sun sinking low in the west, and I know another day on the range has gone by. We'll bed down the strays we've been gathering all day with a Montana love.